You're listening to Cross Currents from KELW News. I'm Hannah Baba. This year's San Francisco Arts Commission Legacy Grant Award recipient, Patrick Makuakani, began his journey with hula dancing as a teenager in Honolulu, Hawaii. After moving to San Francisco in the 80s, Patrick founded Nalehulu Ika Veiku, an award-winning hula dance company and school in the city, where he's been artistic director for the past 33 years. Their new show, Imua, Hula in Unusual Places, revisits past locations where the companies performed, like San Quentin State Prison, the Burning Man Festival, and New York City's Times Square. For this edition of Bay Area Beats, Patrick came by KELW to take us inside his three decades of hula in San Francisco.
Aloha, my name is Patrick Makuakane, and I am the artistic director of METI. So from there, I just took off. So what brought me to San Francisco? Well, I guess it was love. I met somebody and came here with the intention of moving back home after a year. I was here for 3 months and I thought, I don't want to move back home. I want to live in the big city. So I just stayed. But the reason why I didn't want to leave Hawaii is because I love dancing. And so I started up my own company here and started teaching at a studio on Sanchez Street, you know, in 1985, and I haven't stopped. So kumuhula means hula teacher, but kumu is a word that means a foundation, the trunk. So anybody can be a kumu or something. You can be a kumu DJ, right? And the process of being a kumuhula varies from school to school. Some of them go through a ritualistic ceremonial training for years that ends with what is called an uniki, where you have a repertoire of dances that you're responsible for learning and certain protocols that you have to follow in costuming and presentation. And then it ends with a ceremonial meal where you have to consume a lot of different plants and animals in order for you to actually graduate. And that's what I went through. I went through an ailolo ceremony where you have to eat the brain of the pig, which is much tastier than you can imagine. It's surprising how the San Francisco Bay Area hula community is so extensive. I was shocked when I moved here in 1985 that there was like this underground community of hula people. And it's even more extensive today. There are many hula schools littered throughout the Bay Area. I found throughout the years that hula has a strange way of making itself at home no matter what unusual place it finds itself in. So for instance, I teach hula at San Quentin State Prison. And the guys that I work with are really responsive to it. They're engaged, they're inquisitive, very respectful, and they really enjoy the dance, the cultural connection they have to the dance. Although many of them are not Hawaiian, a lot of them come from island cultures. But really, it doesn't really matter where you're from. I think what they really connect with is the community aspect. And there's a very strong family kind of aesthetic to what we do. And so you have to take care of one another. You have to be responsible for one another. And you can see how that's something that the guys respond to. So it's dance, but yet it's more than that. We perform a whole spectrum of hula, from very traditional, authentic, ancient dances to the contemporary kind of hula that a lot of people associate hula with. Guitars and ukuleles and lovely singing, and as well as what I call hula mua, which means hula that progresses forward. And this kind of hula is much more stylized, and it is accompanied by music that is definitely non-Hawaiian. And anything from electronic to opera to pop to alternative. And I just think that it gives hula, which I think is a very beautiful, expressive form of dance, and gives it another dimension. And so it helps to bring it into, you know, a modern contemporary world. But at the same time, what's important to me is that you see the connection in our dancing to our traditional roots. I think one of the benefits of living here in San Francisco, and I didn't really think about it until a friend said to me about 15 years ago, wow, it must be so nice being over there and doing what you want to do without having anybody looking over your shoulders. And it never occurred to me, like, yeah, you're right, because I don't have anybody looking over my shoulders. I hear it from time to time, but not as much as if I would have been doing this back at home in Hawaii. So living here in San Francisco, being influenced by the sort of profound art that's here in the city, it let me feel and sort of execute my work with a sense of liberation that I wouldn't have gotten back at home. There is a misconception out there that hula is a simple-minded dance done in a grass skirt. But what people don't realize is that Hawaiians come from an oral tradition. You know, they didn't have a written language until the mid-19th century. So all of their stories, even their science, everything was kept through chants and was told through stories and dancing. So hula was a vehicle that stored all of this information and then relayed it to the people through its performance. So there is an incredible amount of depth and history that's sort of harnessed and disseminated by hula. And for many young people, old people, it's just across the spectrum. It's a real way, a visceral way to connect to your culture. And that's what it did for me as a young man. And not only that, it opened the doors to other areas of a culture that I was able to explore. All of that with hula serving as a platform. So it's really more than a dance. It's hula is synonymous with culture, not just dance. And then there's a community aspect of it that is really sort of life-affirming and makes you realize that you're not in this world by yourself and you're not as important as the group is. So those are the things that I watch people respond to, and it's just really, it's a very special part of my life. It's a very special part of my life. Open.